I was saved here in 1973. My wife was saved here 10 years later. My son was saved here.
Amen.
And I was called to preach here. You don't forget a church that's stood for the truth all those years.
Yeah.
I was a member here for over 18 years. So I consider King's Edition a great blessing to many, many, many people. And I'm thankful for this church and for the testimony of this church.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for all the faces that I look out and see. Some of us aren't members here any longer, but we all were, many of us at one time. And yes, we've gotten a little older. But, you know, that's by God's grace.
Amen.
He had a purpose for it. He still has a purpose for it. This is our brother preached last night. That purpose is what Brother Rex preached. That's to tell the story of Jesus.
Amen.
What a privilege it is to be called to preach the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
To be a part of the assembly of God's saints. One thing that I've found in these years that we're in, people have forgotten how important the church is.
Right. Mm-hmm.
People have forgotten how important church membership is.
Wow.
People have forgotten how essential being an active member in churches is for your own spiritual well-being.
Amen.
And the spiritual well-being of your brothers and sisters. When you don't come, when you don't attend, you know what you're saying, and I really don't think you realize that. You know what you're saying? It's not important. Lord Jesus Christ gave his life and established his church.
Amen.
He loves his church.
Yes.
And I think God's people should love his church as well.
Amen. Right.
That's extra. Don't call something. Yeah, right. If you will, turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and we want to read verse 20 and verse 48. So Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. And then verse 48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. I want to ask a very serious question of all of us here this morning. How righteous are you? How righteous are you? I want to speak on the subject of righteousness this morning, and it's a very important subject. There are some things that are vital. They are absolutely necessary, and without them, you will perish under God's wrath forever and forever. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except ye repent, ye shall also perish. Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And then our text in verse 20, for I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. In this text, our Savior is addressing his disciples. Mm-hmm. And he's talking to these men who all their lives held their religious leaders, their customs, their traditions, They held them in high esteem. He was talking about two groups of people that the whole nation of Israel held in high esteem. The scribes, the scholars, the learned theologians of their day. They devoted their lives to transcribing and expounding the scriptures. And they held it, the scriptures in deep reverence. He was talking about the Pharisees, the most devoted, the most separated, the most morally strict Jews of that time. They were the finest specimens of religious zeal. Moral. Outwardly obedient to the law. They paid tithes of all that they had. They prayed at least three times a day. They did something that I think we have forgotten, and that is they fasted twice every week. These were very, very religious people.
Right.
More. Jesus said about them, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. That was a shocking statement made. What Jesus is declaring is that he's saying that there has never been one descendant of Adam on this earth good enough, righteous enough, holy enough to inhabit the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
With one exception.
Amen.
There is not now and never will be one person in heaven who is there because he was good, because she was righteous, because they were holy in this world. Psalm 14. In verse 3. They're all going to sigh. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one.
That's right, man.
In Romans chapter 3, you know the passage. In Romans chapter 3, just look at verses 10 and 12.
Right.
As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none seeketh after God.
That's right.
We must get the idea of righteousness out of our minds and get the word righteousness out of our vocabulary insofar as any human works are concerned.
That's right.
In God's sight. Our righteousnesses, Isaiah 64:6 says, are what? Our righteousness is filthy rags.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Totally unacceptable. No righteousness at all in the eyes of God. Genesis 6 said, every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart is only evil continually. Man is not righteous. Man has no righteousness of his own, and man cannot perform righteous acts on his own.
Right.
And every person that you read about in the Word of God who has come into contact with God's righteous character fall down on their face and cry out, "Woe is me!" Job, Isaiah, David, Paul, all cried out, "I'm a sinner. I'm unclean." You and I cannot be saved, cannot enter the kingdom of heaven without perfect righteousness.
Amen.
I want to look at four things. Righteousness, true righteousness, was lost by the sin and the fall of Adam. We all, every one of us, has suffered a loss of righteousness. When Adam sinned in the garden, he lost his righteousness. He lost his righteous nature. And we are all the same. In Ecclesiastes, chapter 7. In verse 29. "Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions." God made man upright. But when Adam sinned, he was no longer righteous. After the fall, he had no righteousness. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Verse 19. "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous."
Yeah.
And then over in Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15, verse 18. "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." We are sinful. Mm-hmm. We are guilty. Mm-hmm. We are condemned. We are lost.
Right.
Adam lost his righteousness. He lost all legal righteousness. Because man is sinful, he cannot approach God.
Right.
Adam was put out of the garden. He was separated. Scriptures say your sins have separated between you and God. In 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 15. which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Amen. Do you see what it said? No man can approach unto. He had lost all legal rights, and he lost all knowledge and understanding of righteousness. Isn't it amazing when you read how Adam sinned and he fell? One of the first things he tried to do, he tried to establish his own righteousness. That's what he did. He went and gathered up the fig leaves, covered himself over to establish that he was righteous. He wasn't. And the sad thing is, and it may seem funny when you think about it, but the really sad thing is, man has been trying to cover up his unrighteousness ever since Adam fell. That's what Paul said in Romans chapter 10, speaking of Israel. He said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." The natural man has absolutely no idea what righteousness is, where it can be found, or how it can be obtained. He has no idea. And the sad thing about that is, he thinks he does. In Luke chapter 16, verse 15. "And he said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God." We have no righteousness. We have no ability to produce righteousness in and of ourselves. And that brings us to the second thing. Righteousness is required.
It is.
A man's definition of righteousness depends entirely upon his understanding of who God is. And the problem that this religious world, this religious generation is, they have never seen the holy, righteous, just character of Almighty God. They have their idea of what God is, who God is, what God will accept, but they have no idea of the absolute holiness and righteousness of God. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. You will never see the holy character of God until you look to Calvary.
Amen.
You must see our Savior bearing your sin. And you must see he's paying a debt that God's holy righteousness required to be paid. You must see a holy God punish his own dear son because he became sin for us.
Right, amen.
That's the holy nature of God that men don't understand.
Exactly. Right.
That men are unable to understand unless God the Holy Spirit works in their life.
Amen.
Our righteousness is nothing.
Right.
How good does a man have to be? How good do you have to be to get to heaven?
Perfect.
Exactly right. You have to be perfect to be accepted. You have to be, for want of a better word, you've got to be just as good as God is. Just as holy as God is. Just as righteous as God is. Who can come into the presence of God? Only the truly righteous. We know that we're told that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things written in the book of the law to do them. We all have to come to the place that Isaiah did there. Woe is me. Woe is me. I'm unclean. I'm vile. Cover ourselves in shame. We need to understand that God requires perfect righteousness. And man cannot produce righteousness. But praise the Lord, God can. And that's our third point. Righteousness has been accomplished.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's good news. The Lord Jesus Christ assumed our nature, and by his obedience to God as our substitute, he brought in everlasting righteousness for those he died for.
Amen.
Righteousness was accomplished when Christ made an end of sin by his death. When he obeyed the law of God and the will of God completely. He made reconciliation for iniquity. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Amen.
Righteousness, fourthly, was accomplished for us at Calvary, and righteousness has been bestowed on all who by faith trust him.
Amen.
As their Savior. When Christ died, we were made righteous in the same way that he was made sin. By imputation. Righteousness was imputed to us in justification. In divine regeneration, righteousness is imparted to God's elect. We're told that we're a new creature in Christ Jesus. We're told that we now walk in the Spirit. We mind the things of God. Doesn't mean we're perfect. We're far from it, aren't we? But we mind the things of God.
Amen. Yeah.
I can remember so many years ago when the Lord first saved me. I was flying. I was just so happy. Mm-hmm. Not even a week later, I found myself doing some things that I said, I shouldn't have done that. I'm saved. What am I doing that for? That really, really troubled me. Great. I went to our pastor, Brother Hobbs. I said, Brother Hobbs, I said, I thought I was saved. But I've done some things I shouldn't. I feel terrible. He said, Pete, let me ask you something. I said, okay. He said, before the Lord saved you, did it really bother you that you sinned? I said, well, I really didn't think too much about it. I just went ahead and did it. Mm-hmm. He said, that's the difference. Amen. I remember he pointed that little finger right at me and said, that's the difference.
Amen.
That is the difference.
Amen.
We now mind the things of God. We love the Lord Jesus Christ. And we love one another. That's one of the great blessings of being a child of God. Loving Jesus Christ, but also loving one another.
Amen.
Even when a brother calls you old and pup. We hate sin. And we love righteousness. We love God's law. We don't keep it to be saved. We don't keep it to stay saved. We try our best to follow God's teachings because we love them.
Amen.
And the only way that we can honor God's law is by trusting Jesus Christ.
Right.
Praise God, we're made righteous in Jesus.
Amen.
Perfectly righteous. Acceptable to God in Him. We now have a righteousness that is pleasing to God. And it's a God-wrought righteousness.
Amen.
Not something we did ourselves, something that he did for us. We're accepted. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We have his righteousness. And God is pleased. And we're accepted. That's why it's so important to understand righteousness. I don't want my righteousness. It's nothing. I want the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And I can tell you here this morning, right now, if you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, right now, God will make you righteous.
Amen.
And praise God that we are righteous in His sight through Jesus Christ.
Amen.